ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 7, titled The Activities of King Bharata, Text Number 13. So, you can see some of the previous texts also, it's in the prose format, or you can say it's not in regular verse for reading. So, I read once. And then we go by word by word translation and word by word meaning, and then we go to the translation.
Itamrita Bhagavat Prata Ai Yagina Vasasa Anusavana Abhisheka Adra Kapisha Kutila japa kalapena cha vira chamana surya cha bhagavantam hiranmayam purisham ujihane surya mandale abhyupasthitam etantu uvacha.
So word to word meaning itam. In this way. Dhrita Bhagavat Vrata. Having accepted the vow to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ainiya Ajina Vasasa. With the dress of a deer's skin. Anusavana.
Three times in a day.
Abhisheka.
By a bath.
Ardha.
Wet.
Kapisha.
Tawni.
Kutila jata. Of curling and matted hair. Kalapena. By masses. Cha. And Vira Chamana, being very beautifully decorated. Suryacha, by the Vedic hymns, worshipping the expansion of Narayana within the sun. Bhagavantam. Unto the Supreme Personality of
Godhead.
Hiranmayam.
The Lord whose body hue is just like gold.
Purisham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ujihani.
When rising.
Surya Mandale. The sun glows. Abhyupasthitam. Worshipping. Eta, this yuha.
Certain vacha, he decided.
Translation by Virendra Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Bharata appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing 3 times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayana, whose body was composed of golden effulgence, and who resided within the sun. Maharaja Bharata worshipped Lord Narayana by chanting the hymns given in the Vedic Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose. very shocked at it. The predominating deity within the sun is Hiranmaya. Lord Narayan is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra Om Bho Bhuvasvaha Dasavide Niranyam Bargo Devasya Dhimahi. It's incomplete. There's a reason for that. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda. For instance, Deha Sada Vritur Mandala Madhyavarti. Within the sun, Lord Narayana is situated and he has a golden glove. We might as well read the next verse too, which is connected. So that brings to the end of this chapter.
Paroraja Savitu Chataveda Devasya Bhargo Manasitam Jajana Surita Sadaha Pune Avista Haste Amsam Grudanam Narshid Ringiram Imam.
Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates entire universe and bestows all benediction upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord enters this universe as a super soul and by the virtue of his different potencies. He is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Okay. The predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayana, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the heart of all living entities as a super soul. He gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Sadhana Kriti Sannivishta. I am sitting in everyone's heart, Bhagavad Gita 15.15. As a super soul, the Lord enters the heart of all living entities, as stated in Brahma Sahita, Antam Darastha Paramaham Chayamurastham. He enters the universe and the atoms as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity of the sun is worshipped by this mantra. Deha Sada Savidhi Mandala Madhyavritti Narayana Sarasi Chana Sarasi Chana Sannivishtaha. Narayana sits on his lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayana just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonlight helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayana within the sun is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayana should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or the Rig Mantra. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 5th canto, 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Activities of King Bharata.
ॐ अज्ञानं किमिन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभि संस्थापितं लोके सर्वभूतकदामहिं तदम्पि स तदम्पिकं जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसाङ्गी गौरभक्तबिन्दा हरे कृष्ण
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think this is one of the shocks. They do not have to see my face, so they can hear the voice. Yeah. I don't want to eat the mic, so that's why. So, I think that this chapter is a very short chapter with 14 verses. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the shortest chapters. Yes. And so, we have already concluded this chapter. So, we quickly review the chapter. Revision. Yeah. Maharaj Bharat is a very, very elevated personality born from Rishabhadri. He was so elevated that even in his young age, when he was like a brahmachari, when he's normally, in his very young age, he left home. He went to Haridwar and he was doing a lot of austerities. Can you believe that? I also left home when I was young, but not to go to Haridwar, but to go to the IT hub, because I moved from Coimbatore to Bangalore for money. So, Bharat Maharaj, he left home to do meditation, to worship, to do austerity on the Lord Haridwar. Then, what happened? As usual, his father brought him back or ordered Maharaj Bharat to get married. So, he married to
wife,
of course. She's got a name. We say God, but who is the God? So Srila Prabhupada says, Supreme Personality of God is Sri Krishna. So everyone has got a name. So what is the name? Panchajana. He married a lady called Panchajana. Maybe because of Panchajana or something, they had 5 children. Panch. You can see that, you can draw some parallel conclusion that even in the story of Maharaj Priyavarta, Priyavarta was highly renounced. We saw in the beginning of this canto, right? So this is going to be a very revision class. So all of you, please help me out to bring out my memories. So Priyavarta was also highly renounced. And he was in the same position. But his father, Swayambhuva Manu, with the help of Brahma, convinced him to marry. He was not willing to marry, but they convinced him. So this is almost like a similar category. Very, very elevated personality, Maharaj Bharat. You can see that he was so elevated that India, or Bharat Varsha, whatever you call it, was named before, what was the name before Bharat Varsha? Ajanaba. Ajanaba was the name. And because Bharat Maharaj ruled that planet, it was changed as Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha. Imagine power. He was fixed in devotional service to Krishna. The verses, the prayer now. And because of his elevated consciousness, he was developing ecstatic symptoms within his body. Crying, tears rolling, trembling of the body. This is all ecstatic symptoms. Also, during his reign, when he was ruling, he had a very undisturbed mind. This is an important point to know. Okay? Undisturbed mind. Today morning, just about 1 hour back, when I was coming from my house, morning time, you could see some people walking on the path, footpath. I could see a few of them, I tell you, that's why I noted. They are walking, but they have, like our Brajaraja Prabhu, they have a phone on the hand and they are doing something. Where is the concentration? They are walking. Imagine if they go one step this side, it's very fatal. One step this side, they'll be run over by a car or something. So what is the concentration there? The mind is disturbed constantly, but they want something to hang on to that. But here it is said that Maharaj Bharat was not like them. Completely calm and undisturbed mind. And because of that, he could decide what he wants. He was fixed on the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he decided that he wants to take an early retirement. So he divided his property among his five children, and then this time, where did he go? He went to Pulaha, known as Pulaha Ashram, and he was fixed on his devotion. This particular verse, 13, and the next particular verse talks about what kind of mantra he was meditating on. All spiritual process require a mantra. There is also a mantra on the material side. Anyone knows? Everyone has got mantra. Material side also there is mantra. What is that? Correct. Money, 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 more money, 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 more money. That is what it is. So, but we ourselves have got a mantra, no? So, in Kali Yuga, we follow the mantra given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For this mantra, there is no qualification. One can start this mantra from any modes, whether I am in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, or in the mode of goodness, doesn't matter. It elevates one, as Prabhupada points out, to the pure goodness, transcendental mode. Krishna's name, by chanting, it eliminates, or it elevates a person to the transcendental mode. But here, Bharat Maharaj, what mantra is chanting? Gayatri mantra. So what do you mean? What do you infer from that? You need a qualification to chant Gayatri mantra. And the qualification is, you should start from mode of goodness. That's why in our sampradaya also we have got, in our parampara, our sampradaya, we have got a system that although Mahamantra is given to everyone, but Gayatri Mantra is not given to everyone. That's qualification. One must rise to the level of goodness, mode of goodness. Then the Guru gives them. It's very important. So in this Gayatri Mantra, it is said that Lord Narayana is within the lotus, inside the sun, and is emitting, you know, light, and it's very nice to look at. See, all of us know that we like the sunny day. Right? Anyone likes very gloomy, rainy day? Anyone likes it?
No.
So everyone likes sun because it is very powerful. Sunlight, the whole atmosphere is illuminated. See, sometimes, you know, I see when I come into the temple, they open the door before. And on a sunny day, their door used to be open. And the sunlight is coming, and it's so nice, you know. Have you seen that? Sometimes nice sun coming. And also, you know, even a house also you can see. When the sun comes in, there is some happiness. But on the contrary, when it is gloomy, you know, it feels something. So naturally imagine Krishna is like, you know, the radiant sun. The moment Krishna is there, happiness comes, like sun. That's why the highest scripture in our sampradaya, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that. What does he say?
Krishna
is like the sun. Krishna Surya Saman. Maya Andhakar. Maya is like darkness. If there is no light in this room, if we enter, we don't know what's happening. Where is Krishna? Where is Parabrahma? Where is Brahma? We don't know. Everywhere it's darkness. I cannot see people. But the moment you put on the light, when the light comes, you can see everything clearly, distinctly. Oh, this person is sitting there. This person is sitting here. Only one person, few person are wearing, most of the people are wearing masks. I could see clearly. Some of the people are not wearing masks. Distinctly I can see when the light is on. Yeah? So this is the power of light. In the same way, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he knows clearly, I am not this body. I'm comprising of two bodies. My body has got two aspects. Gross body, subtle body. The mind is a culprit. The mind, whatever you do, mind is absorbing. Like a blotting paper. Like a glue. It never sticks on. And the mind is something like a, you can say like a mirror in one sense. If you take the mirror to a black object, it's going to show black. If you turn to the red object, it's going to show red. So the same, the mind reflects. So in the same way, the entire existence within the material world, thinking of material money, 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 it's only going to show money. But on the contrary, a small ship. Then, slowly the mind realizes, yes, there is another realm there. I'm stuck here. So clearly a person sees, gross body, this body at the time of death, it will go and join all the five material ingredients. I can't do anything. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, it will go and join. Then mind intelligence falls ego. That has been accumulated from time immemorial. Our same mind intelligence falls ego. That doesn't change. But only rubbish accumulates, like a rubbish bin. And that mind intelligence falls ego, subtle body, combines with the soul at the time of death, and it takes a new body based on the impressions that's formed on the subtle body, which is mainly the mind, consciousness. See how clearly Krishna explains, and we know all this very thoroughly. There's no question, there's no doubt how we die. Everything is clear to the devotee. So it is said that one who knows Krishna, who knows everything. One who knows Krishna knows everything. But eventually he will know. Because he is in touch with Krishna. This is the beauty of a philosophy. Other people who are in darkness, see, if the light is turned off and if I am in darkness, I don't know what is happening. Again, this is the exact situation of the people outside. They don't know what is cross body, what is subtle body, what is senses, how the senses are always, you know, want more and more. Less cannot be satisfied. It's like if adding fuel to the fire. They don't know this. But we know how the attraction between sense and sense object is the greatest source of misery. They don't know that. They go run after sense objects. But we are very clear. Krishna said no sense objects. Your sense objects only me. See, we have to follow someone in life. Isn't it? We have to follow someone. That is how we are structured. We have to follow someone. That is why we grow from the young age to follow someone. Why not follow Krishna, the supreme authority? Otherwise, the mind does not have any goal. Today, the mind will say, make money. Tomorrow, buy the car. And day after tomorrow, new house. Day after tomorrow, you will say, Melbourne is okay, very bad, go to Queensland. And then it's a Queensland, there is no industry, go to Sydney, make money. This is what the mind, there's no goal, proper goal. Because the mind is a product of the Lord's material energy and it keeps changing all the time, driven by the three modes. So where is the question of stability? But Krishna means stable. That's why a devotee who sticks on to the lotus feet of the Lord is stable, is fixed. Material energy, you see the people, each day, you know, your colleagues may step on. Have you noticed that? One day they will say, you know, I like this one. Next day, you know, I'm going there. Third day, there's no uniformity. They don't know what they're doing. No clear goals set. This is very embarrassing situation. Very embarrassing situation. But in our case, the light is on and we are able to see everything clearly. This room, Lord, devotees. So very important for us. And this knowledge is given by Krishna only. It enlightens the soul. When we are born, the soul is completely covered by material energy. We are given two bodies, gross body and subtle body. One will not know. This is a covering potency of the mind. It covers, we don't know. I did not know 20 years back that I am the soul. I thought I am the body. I have to fulfill the demands of my body, which is mainly senses. Because the body is a bag of senses. If you don't have senses, very easy to come to Krishna. Isn't it? Because senses are demanding. So senses are very attractive and it always wants more. I didn't know that. But this process, gradually by practicing, you go up. Before I was the mode of ignorance, then slowly passion. Little bit of goodness now. Little bit. So it's growing and constantly it's growing. Krishna consciousness. Very, very wonderful system. We are slowly seeing the light. Slowly. Not all, but little by little. This is the power of Krishna consciousness. But the moment we leave Krishna, we go to darkness. That is also there. The light is turned off. Imagine. The moment I think, I don't want Krishna today, turn off the light. You become to go to darkness. No, I want Krishna, turn on the light. That's how it is. Okay. Krishna also describes. So we'll see a little bit about the sun today and we move on further. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7. What does he say about sun? He says that, but in 7th chapter, that is not in the 7th chapter. That's 15th chapter, I guess. This is 7th chapter. Rasoham, Sukhamateya, Prabhasmi, Sashishu. Very good. So next time I'll just tell the verse, you have to complete it. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, the knowledge of the absolute. Krishna is giving knowledge about himself. Why does he give? Because the knowledge of Krishna will help you out to stop the cycle of birth and death. Very important knowledge. Krishna is not giving knowledge about economics. What is the rate of the dollars? How to get $80 per hour? This is not spoken in Bhagavad Gita. It all speaks about your body, about internal things. You, your body, your mind, your false ego, how to, you know, overcome this and how to realize that you are a soul. Self-realized person. How to become self-realized. Once you become self-realized, you don't want anything but Krishna. That's the process Krishna is talking. So in the 7th chapter, the knowledge of the absolute, Lord talks about that he is the light of the sun and the moon. Very powerful. And that is in that's the Bhagavad Gita. And also for all the Brahmanas, there is also one more verse in Rig Vedas, which you do before entering into the deity room. What is the mantra you chant before going into the day table?
Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam.
Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam. Tata Pashyanti Surayo Divya Chakshu Radatam Tat Viprasa Vipanyavo Jagrimasaha Samindate Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. That is also a Rig Veda from the Rig Vedas. So, there, do anyone know the meaning of that? You know the meaning, Mataji? Yeah, something that he says that how the light is coming from the Lord. In the similar, in the same way, the Brahmanas who worship the Lord will be able to show the Vaikuntha to other persons because who are engaged in the Lord's service. Something like that. So this is again from Rig Veda. So there are a lot of mantras there. But the mantra which is given by Srila Prabhupada for this age is known as Maha Mantra. It's not mantra, Maha Mantra. And therefore it is very powerful. And that is why we are and we have to chant Maha Mantra. Which is again Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So after getting qualification, you get Gayatri Mantra only. But without qualification, you get Maha Mantra. So which is better? Maha Mantra is better. So powerful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given without any qualification. So how lucky we are. You don't need any qualification. Just chant. Before taking bath, after taking bath. Before sleeping, after sleeping. What a mantra is that? Powerful mantra of Chaitanya Siddhi. And no qualification, absolutely no qualification. You pick up the mantra and chant, and slowly all the bad points, all the bad effects will go away. Because it puts oneself on the transcendental platform. Okay, so what I talk today is, I wanted to do something different. So that everyone is involved. Yesterday, Prana Prabhu, were you there, the Prana Prabhu? Okay. This is such a wonderful class he gave, the glorification of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is so powerful that he said in Sangeri, every day the Bhagavatam will be coming from Krishna and will be given to the speaker to imply that Bhagavatam is nothing but Krishna. It is Krishna himself. There's no difference. Bhagavatam. How powerful it is. Srimad Bhagavatam. So the speaker takes and reads the Bhagavatam. Such a powerful book Srila Prabhupada has given. Not only has given Maha Mantra, which is powerful. Bhagavatam is a Maha book. You know, Srila Prabhupada has given. So this Bhagavatam, we have to churn it. And it is said that Bhagavatam is like a sugar candy. Any side you take, it's sweet. Any side you taste, it will be sweeter. This is Bhagavatam. So why not we take that experience of again churning more? Because we have already come to the 5th canto and we finished chapter 4. So why can't go back and chant again? So that tomorrow we are ready for 5th canto, 15th chapter. Right? So everyone will be very clear. Correct? Yes? No? You have to be enthusiastic. Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Okay. Anyway, don't worry. Whether you listen or not, your breakfast will be given to you. So why? Why worry? You know, happy. What I am going to do today is, there are innumerous personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right from Canto 1 till 12th Canto. But we are not going after 5th Canto. There is a lot of time, we will discuss later. First Canto to the 5th Canto. 5 cantos only, there are innumerable personalities. Yeah, understand this. Those personalities have done severe austerities, severe penances, worship the Lord either in the beginning or in the middle of their life or at the end. At one point in their life, they have done or they have reached the pinnacle of their worship, for which Krishna reciprocated and they got Krishna's mercy, and at the end of their lifetime they went back to God. There are many persons. We are going to see a few of them. There are more than a dozen between canto 1 and 5. Let us see how much, and just quickly talk about them. These elevated personalities are very dear to Krishna. By talking about them, Krishna is pleased, and therefore we get the Lord's mercy. So, I know that Sri Chaitanya Prabhu will answer most of that, because I remember some time back he did a quick revision. So, he will definitely going to pass out the color for you, for sure, because this is revision for it. It's a good thing for everyone, no? Because we tend to forget. See, our Kaliyuga mind is that we tend to forget. Why do we have so much revision in school, correct? Aruna, isn't it? So many revision. Revise and come, tomorrow there will be revision test, tomorrow there will be revision. Because, we'll forget. That is why revision comes. Why not take revision? In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, let us go a little bit in order, sequential order, so that we know the mix of things. In the first canto, we'll take first canto now. What is the first personalities who have done a lot of penance, you know? To start with, the first canto. Prabhu, any clue, idea? Before that. It's a good one. Before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before. I've taken all great personality, remember. All great personality, including the author of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. So, okay. Given a clue also.
Vyasadeva.
Correct. Vyasadeva and Narada. Even yesterday, Prana Prabhu was just mentioning about that. Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of the Lord, is empowered to write. Otherwise, he was saying, even Prana Prabhu was mentioning this, a big volume, Veda is a big volume, you know, it's an ocean of knowledge. How can you divide that into 4 segments? I can't even, one verse I cannot understand and divide into 4 segments. Where's the question? A vast body of knowledge is divided into 4 parts for the people of Kali Yuga. It is, I tell you, Herculean job, you know. Very, very difficult job. You have to understand that and divide that based on philosophy, based on bhakti, to other components of that. So Vyasadeva is an author. He wanted us to read Vedas to understand. After writing the Vedas, he was feeling dissatisfied. So much dissatisfied. Something was worrying him. So he asked Guru Maharaj, what can I do? And so I'm feeling so, you know, dissatisfied. Then Narada Muni said, you have done everything, you know. In the name of Vedas, you have asked people to do sense enjoyment. That is your problem. See? Vedas, basically, if you analyze deeply, it tells you, you can enjoy senses. So Narada Muni pointed out, this is a mistake. You are given Vedas, but what's the bottom line? There's no worship of the Lord. Only very little is there. All the time, sense gratification. If you want, you know, with the wife, you can get these children, get money, blah, 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 all this. So, Vyasadeva followed Narada Muni and he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was spoken. But before writing Bhagavatam, what did he do? Yes, he was meditating on the Lord. See, as devotees, for any action, right, if we want it to be successful, one, and two, if we want the mercy of the Lord, we must meditate on the Lord. Otherwise, not going to be successful. Even now, we must, you know. See, if you see the examples of all these great acharyas, this elevated person, all of them meditated on the Lord. So Vyasadeva meditated and Krishna was so kind. What did he, how did he give the darshan? He gave his darshan and behind that Maya was dancing. He had a darshan. He said, oh, that means first is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Behind the Lord is Maya. So if Krishna is there, Maya will be okay. But if Krishna is not there, then Maya will show a full universal form. So he understood that. And that is why when Srimad Bhagavatam is there, Maya is not there. So we learn that for any endeavor in life, we must meditate and pray for Lord's mercy. That's enough, any endeavor. Then, what comes next? Bhishma Devi. Bhishma Dev, everyone knows, right? On his death bed, he was fixed in Krishna's mind. See, when someone is having pain or problem, what they will say? I want to die. I don't care who comes before me or something. You know? Just out, you know. Too much. But Bhishma Dev, he waited for the Lord to come and become complete focus on the Lord. His subtle body was completely focused, mind, intelligence, everything was fixed on the Lord, and then he passed away. Fixed. He did not worry about external circumstances. It's very, very important. Pain, I'm telling you, a few days back, I'll give you personal application. Okay? A few days back, I don't know, from here to there, I could not lift my hand. Little bit is this place, you know, I could not lift my right hand. I thought, okay, I can't do any, you know. Arati is gone, I thought. I don't know why. Maybe, you know, because constant use, repetitive action, the material world, right, everything is repetitive. Computers. I use a mouse a lot, you know. Tick, 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 tick. Rather than, you know, I don't know. So, it was so, you know, when we use, you know, so painful and with that, to do arati and all that. I could not lift it to do. Can you imagine? So we have to be very careful. And I also miss a physio session. Normally I do every 2 months or something. This is all important. So I missed one session and I overlooked that and the pain. So repetitive action is what we are doing in Kali Yuga. We have to be mindful of that. So this pain is so much. But Bhishma Devi did not mind that. That's what I'm trying to. Now I can think because recently I have. So, you know, I can't do. You know, I can't do. Go like this, go like this. It's, the hand has to be fixed like this. If I move, it is painful. So it was like that. And then next one, what is that? In order, you know. So this is Vyasa Devi's first canto, 6th chapter. Then Bhishma Devi is 1st canto, 9th chapter. The next one is? Any guess?
Vidura.
Vidura. Huh? Vidura, Dhrisra, then I correct. Almost like you're touching them. Dhrisarashtra. Now he left home. Vidura reached to him like anything, you know. A person who was so attached. You know, it is said that Dhrisarashtra is so attached. Blind, he is already blind. But his focus was also blind. He did not have the ability to see things clearly. Not through eyes, you know, also through intelligence also. Intelligence was blind, body was also blind, you know. He had that problem. And therefore, Vidura has to chastise him, like anything. Get out of the house, you know. And forcefully, you know, he made him understand that the whole life is futile. And therefore he left with his wife. And then he went there, he took Vanaprastha, he went there, and near the Himalayas, and there he took Ashtanga Yoga. Seriously. Very severe meditation. Do anyone know that if Dhritarashtra has gone back to God? Yeah, he took up the process of Ashtanga Yoga at the end, you know, because Dhruva Maharaj also took Ashtanga Yoga. But he was a devotee, Dhruva Maharaj was a devotee, you know. But I don't know the conclusion, I did not explore on that, so I just asked. Any idea for him?
He goes back.
He goes back, yeah. Anyone who takes up Ashtanga Yoga is very powerful. See, for example, in our own life, okay, some 15-20 years back, I was not a devotee. Now, if I had not taken a Krishna conscious, what would have happened? I would have become, you know, I would have still, you know, degraded in my consciousness and I would have become a dog or something. Right? Because we have taken the process of Krishna conscious, there is some hope. So, Krishna conscious or the spiritual activity has got no impact on your previous previous lifestyles. It will be all be erased, you know. Like tomorrow, Priya will be erasing this very clearly and putting, you know, 15 chapter, isn't it? It's 8 chapter. So this is erased. So in the same way, when you take, someone takes a spiritual life, there's no reference to the past life. You have started to take up Krishna conscious, that means you're acting on the soul. Where is the body coming into the picture? Yeah? No reference to the past. Today, I'm taking up Krishna conscious. So today onwards, I'm a soul. My service, my connection to Krishna. That's it. No talking about the body, past. No need to talk. So, I was under the impression. And moreover, Dhritarashtra is not an ordinary person. They all got in the group. They were all in Mahabharata. They were all very elevated person. We have not even seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in India. He was there 500 years back. I don't know, at the time I may be some dog or something, I don't know. Or even though I could not. Although I guess that this birth, I don't know, next birth or last birth, but still, you know, we could not see even the descendant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to speak? We are in the midst of Kali Yuga and Kali Yuga mind. What can you say? So, that is there. And then moving on is, what is the next part? After this, Pandavas. Pandavas also left to Himalayas. Obviously, you know, they are devotees of the Lord and therefore we know they have reached back to Godhead. And they are also very firm. See, Pandavas, what we learn is, no matter the external circumstances are, they fix in the service. Doesn't matter. We don't care. We all we want is Krishna and Krishna service. This is what they were. So you learn that they are fixed devotees. External circumstances does not matter to them. So that is what we learn from them. And next comes Saumika Rishi. Without him, Bhagavatam would not have started. Isn't it? See, this is on the lighter side, don't take me wrong, on the lighter side, okay? Many of us carry water bottles. When we go out, you know, we carry a water bottle, isn't it? Correct? If Parishit Maharaj is carrying some water bag, no bother. He would have drunk the water and come home. He would not have put this thing. Just because he did not take care, spring water, entire Bhagavatam was spoken. Yeah? So Saumika Rishi, when Parishit Maharaj went, Saumika Rishi, with the closed eyes, right, he was fixed, you know, that's, he was in union, not merging, in union with the Lord. A soul in conjunction with the Supreme Lord. You know, like this. This I feel when I take prasadam. That is when I realize I am the soul. Other times I am not realizing. But on full meditation of Saumika Rishi, he is known for his meditation. See, he did not know that if say someone puts whatever maybe garland, if it is sticky, a bit itchy or sticky or it is poking, we feel uneasy, right? Although we are talking about Krishna, because our mind is not that fixed. But Saumika Rishi, that snake, whatever maybe it is sting or it is smell, whatever maybe, he put it, Parishit Maharaj. He did not even realize. And his son came and said, hey, there's a snake on your body. Son noticed. So he did not even notice. So he was completely, you know, in union with the Lord's meditation. We should chant like that. We should take that example and stand it. Completely, you know. Another example also given in the 11th canto, if you remember, I'm drawing a parallel. The 11th canto, 24 gurus are mentioned. In that, one of the guru is an arrow maker. You remember Prabhu? One person is a skilled person, is making an arrow. He's having some in his mind. He has got some target in his mind and he wants to shoot, you know. For that he wants a particular type of arrow. So he's concentrating on the arrow. Okay, and it is said that at that time he was so much concentrating on making the arrow that the king's possession was going. He did not even mind. You know, when the king comes, no, big possession. He did not mind. That was concentration. So it was said that in that devotee, we should also focus our mind while chanting the name. It's very difficult, I'm just saying. At least we know that you're so much concentrating on making of the arrow that the external thing was forgotten. The same thing with Saumika Rishi. He forgotten the external circumstances. He did not know. So much fixed. Okay. That almost I think comes to the first canto. There may be a few more. And the second canto is mainly Brahma. Prayers and Brahma's fixing on the lotus feet of Krishna. Not much that somebody given. Now the third canto, I have not taken everything, just a few, because it's there are a lot of personalities. In the third canto, Kashyapa Muni and Diti, it talks about them. Kashyapa Muni is also very powerful. Devotee, the Lord. But Kashyapa and Diti, what you learn is, their union produced demons. Whereas, later in the chapter, Kardama Muni and Devakuti's union produced divine child, Lord himself. So they are also very powerful. You know? We do not have to underestimate anyone. Kashyapa Muni is also powerful. But only the matter of Kashyapa Muni had many wives, right? Diti is there, Aditi is there. With Aditi, divine children are born. With Diti, demons are born. So what does it mean there? It is a consciousness that counts. See, same father. With another woman, he got demons. With Diti, he got demons. With Aditi, he got Devadas. And the demigods are from Aditi. So it's a consciousness at the time. And Kardama Muni and Devahuti. We again rank with this. Kardama Muni is so fixed. But one thing it is said about Kardama Muni is very frank. When the Lord came, he did not want to say, oh Lord, I am the purest devotee, and therefore, you know, he said, I have got a desire in the heart. I want to get married. It was very honest. I want to get married because I am not a, you know, big. Even though it is said that I am a sage, he is very frank. I want it to say, because my father ordered me to marry. Therefore, I am marrying someone. But please, give me a suitable bride so that I can carry out my father's order and progress in Krishna consciousness. This is what he wanted. And how did the Lord reciprocate? He arranged. He said, don't worry, everything will happen. And next day, Swayambhu Manu is coming to the doctor. He did not do anything. The best and Devahuti is like goddess. Some of these demigods, they fell off the aeroplane looking at Devahuti. They lost control. See, when you are driving, that is when you should not see anywhere. If you drive, you know, that's it. Especially in summer season, you should not even see. Some of the demigods, when they are driving the aeroplane, you know, they could not control Devahuti and they, you know, fell off the aeroplane. Imagine the beauty. Where she was playing baseball. It's said in Bhagavad. She was playing baseball at the top of the terrace with her friends. And the demigods were struck. What is this? She's like a goddess of fortune. So beautiful. Okay. Then, fourth canto, interesting. In the fourth canto, the first one is what? What do you remember? First, Daksha. Daksha is the main thing, no? See, Daksha also a lot of things, you know, because of the pride he acted, you know. He was very offensive to Shiva. But at the same time, what happened? Daksha learned his lesson and then he took severe austerities. And that austerity went for different Manus. But if I am right, you know, he went up to Manu 6, huh? Sixth Manu. From the first Manu to sixth Manu. See, five Manus he was meditating for, fixed. So, that is again a very good nature we have to bear, very good quality we have to learn from Daksha. He fixed in devotee service and again he became his Daksha. And who were his children? Second time. No, Prabhu, Daksha's son. Daksha's son. Who was it?
No.
Yeah, and then that designation. Prachetas. Prachetas comes from.
Yeah.
Prachetas, they come. Descendant of Daksha, second time. We learn them. Prachetas.
Okay.
So, Daksha, and then is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, of course, he started off with a mercury disease. But everything got unified by devotional service. And therefore he is able to see the Lord. Very powerful person. And then comes who? Prithu Maharaj, descendant. Before that, Vena is also there. What we learn is, we should not be a king like Vena, who is cruel. And then comes Prithu Maharaj from Vena. And Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Lord himself. And at the end of the life, when Prithu Maharaj did so much of, you know, austerity, he did Ashtanga Yoga, that he was able to disintegrate the soul from the body and able to join all the material elements into the corresponding. Air went and joined, air, water, like that. Very high level. Prithu Maharaj. Then comes Prachinaya Bali. Prachinaya Bali, we saw that. And then come Prachetas. Prachinaya Bali, the problem is, he is also very elevated. He was attached to the Karmakanda section. But Narada Muni preached to him. And yet, and therefore, later after Narada Muni preached to him, he took up Krishna consciousness seriously, went back to Godhead. Prachinaya Bali. And then his sons Prachetas. What to speak about Prachetas? They were inside the water for 10,000 years. Inside the water. And then Lord came inside the water. Lord said, why, you know, I should go, I should ask you to come, I will also go into the water. So the Lord went with Garuda into the water to give darshan to me. This is a very powerful status of Prachetas. And then in the fifth canto, we saw Priyavarta. Priyavarta is highly renounced. He doesn't want to get married. But because his father ordered him, he got married. And then you see the message. And then comes what? Rishabhadev, we saw. Rishabhadev is a plenary of the full expansion of the Lord. And from Rishabhadev, we saw Bharat Maharaj. the son. Rishabhadev has got 100 children. One is Bharat Maharaj, and there are 9 Yogendras, and the remaining 90 are all yogis, maybe, something like that. Yogis. So all the 100 children, because what can you expect from the Lord? All the 100 children are, you know, highly elevated, and then Bharat Maharaj has come. That's why we are seeing that the activities of Bharat Maharaj is chapter 7, which talks about exalted, you know, nature and this high level of spiritual consciousness, bhava. But we see in the coming chapters how Bharat Maharaj, because of a very slight deviation, so devotional service should not have deviation. That we learn from Bharat Maharaj. Slight deviation, he fell from the platform of Bharat down and again goes up. So that is an important lesson for all of us. Okay? So, yeah, I think we'll stop here. Yeah? If there is any quick question or comments, because I still remember last time, another professor. When you say question, give 30 seconds. Someone changed their mind. And last time, Priya changed their mind. Please see this one. So everyone is very clear. If you don't have questions, I will ask you a question.
I have a question and
forgot. When you speak, you can.
I have a question and forgot.
You had a forgot. That means you are thinking of Krishna, that's a good sign. Okay. We stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ji.
Jai.
Nithai Gaurav Premanam.